Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Mark Harmon. Mark is filling in for Wendy. Wendy has the week off. She'll be back late next week. Every Friday, we talk to Alexander Zeldman. Alexander, of course, representing Decider.com. He's the managing editor over at Decider.com. Wonderful website if you like television or just entertainment in general. Alexander, how are you? Everything good?
I'm doing great. Beating the heat, or trying to, I guess.
Is it hot by you, too? Is it that bad over there?
So hot. It's going to break 100, I believe, over the weekend. So not looking forward to that too much.
I'm going to send some raspberry high C your way.
Thank you.
I'm going to fast track it to you, the raspberry high C.
Limeade?
Yeah. I'll get you some limeade and some raspberry high C. All right. Several things to discuss with you. First is this. When Wendy was here early this week, we talked about this, but I'd like to get your take on it. As we've mentioned on the show before, there's been a proliferation of game shows on networks during the summer months. And one of them is To Tell the Truth with Anthony Anderson, which I watched just kind of on a lark a few times in the last couple weeks. And I noticed something really funny. He has his mom on every show just because. She just kind of sits off to the side, and every once in a while he'll say, "Mama, what do you think?" And then she'll say something. That's brilliant.
Yeah. Listen, I mean, we talked about this before, but one of the great things about the game shows is certainly there's effort that's going to be involved, but they're a little easier to produce. They're very casual summer fare, and you can do weird, bizarre things like that. Just throw them in there, and that's fine. And it's fun. It's the summer. Let's have a good time.
Are you kind of impressed at the roster of talent, not just to host the shows, but the guest stars are some pretty A-list names? Every time I see who's on any given show, I can't believe that they've stooped themselves to doing game shows, but they love it.
I agree with you, or at least I agree with you initially about the stooping thing, but I think it's kind of to the point that the talent has been enough that they see it as part of a promotional cycle. You know, they have a new TV show, they have a movie coming out, something like that. It's an easy, fun way of stopping by, and frankly, the majority of quote-unquote entertainment journalistic interviews are playing games anyway, so it's really not that much difference in terms of the cycle, and you probably get paid a little more while you're at it.
Sure. For the record, I think Bill Leff would have been a great game show host. I mean, you're doing okay over there, but
thank you.
I think you'd have been great there, too.
Maybe someday.
What is the deal with Eddie Murphy and Netflix here? I'm a little fascinated, Alexander, that $70 million to do comedy on Netflix. Is Eddie Murphy worth that type of dough? That's one of the stories on your site.
Yeah, well, we're reaching out. Our news reporter, Claire Spellberg, has reached out to Netflix. This is completely unconfirmed at this time, but TMZ put it out. Their sources spoke to Eddie Murphy's sources, and reportedly he is negotiating for a $70 million payday for 3 stand-up comedy specials, which, frankly, to bring Eddie Murphy back to stand-up would be a huge deal and a huge get for Netflix. It's also not out of the realm of reason for them. I believe they paid $60 million to Dave Chappelle for a similar number of specials. So they throw their money around, and it's, again, unconfirmed. Nobody knows what's going to happen. It could just be a negotiation tactic on the part of Eddie Murphy's camp. But if it is going to happen, I think that's going to be a pretty big deal.
Who was the comedian about 2 years ago who had a big complaint with Netflix saying they made her an offer that was just a fraction of what other comedians were making? Do you remember who that was? Somebody wanted they wanted a boycott of Netflix because of their unfair business. It was Monique, right.
Monique.
Yep.
Yes.
Netflix has just like $70 million bucks laying around, huh? They're doing okay over there.
I mean, I'm looking at this now. I guess they offered her $500,000, which is a little less than $70 million. Yeah. So I could see why she could take some umbrage to that.
But don't you have to look at this as supply and demand? Like, if you have a product that people want in on, you can charge a little higher rate. You know, Eddie Murphy, there's a nostalgia factor there. He hasn't done a stand-up special in a long time. I think people would be very excited to see him doing it again. What do you think, Alex?
Yeah, I mean, listen, this is nothing against Monique, but the other comedians that they brought in, like potentially Eddie Murphy or Dave Chappelle, Chris Rock, Amy Schumer, these are big names, these are draws, and Monique is great. She is very funny, but it's not quite on the same level as that. Should she have been offered more than $500,000? Maybe, but, you know, $50 million, $60 million, $70 million. That's an unimaginable sum of money regardless.
Right.
But I can kind of understand if that's the pay rate that Netflix is set, why they're going for those different things.
Speaking of Eddie Murphy, his name is on a list of guests mm-hmm. that'll be on the new season of Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. That's Jerry Seinfeld's show. Other than Eddie Murphy, who are the other names? Do you know any of them?
Yeah, that debuted today, and there's a bunch of them. As you said, there's Eddie Murphy. There's also Ricky Gervais, Martin Short, Matthew Broderick, Seth Rogen, Jamie Foxx. Tons of names like that. One episode in particular I point you to, there's a comedian named Bridget Everett, who's been popping around for a while. I always think those episodes are almost a little more interesting because you get them more specifically talking shop as comedians mm-hmm. versus you put somebody like Eddie Murphy and Jerry Seinfeld together. That's a different stratosphere altogether. So it's the sort of show you can just pop in, you can check out an individual episode. There's no plot or anything like that. It's literally just them talking about comedy, talking about their lives, and having a good time.
He seems to, Jerry Seinfeld, when you see him doing this show, he seems to really be enjoying himself. I'm sure he did when he had his own sitcom, but for this, it's, I mean, how could you not love it? You're with the funniest people in show business, just talking shop. It's a can't miss, huh?
Yeah, exactly. And free coffee.
And so, free coffee on top of this. Did you see the side story about him? I guess he made some remarks a couple of weeks ago saying that this show is now being copied in other countries. Other countries are doing versions of the show. And he called out a guy in England. And then the guy said, hey, just so you know, I was doing this show 20 years ago before you even thought of it. And Jerry Seinfeld looked it up and then apologized, saying, yeah, I was wrong.
Not as well as I'm doing it now, sir. That's right. What I would have said.
Right. Absolutely. Alexander Zalbin's our guest, managing editor over at Decider.com. If you have any questions for Alexander, we're easy to reach. We're at 312-981-7200. We'll pick this up in just a little bit. Phil Leff, it's Mark Carmen. Mark is filling in for Wendy, who will come back later next week. Our guest is Alexander Zalbin. Alex joins us every Friday, and we talk about television. He's the managing editor over at Decider.com. It's a new season for Queer Eye. They used to call this Queer Eye for the straight guy. Now it's just Queer Eye. What can we expect in the new season?
More of the same, more emotion, more crying, more fun. Our reviewer, Brett White, loved the new season. He's checked it out already. One of the big events, he said, there's a dog adoption episode that's going to make you cry. And another thing for fans of the show, there's Antoni, who has been criticized a little bit for his cooking expertise. He gets a little bit of redemption in terms of his guacamole recipe. Mm. He puts sour cream or yogurt in it. So for fans of the show, that's a big deal.
Now, you usually save that episode for Sweeps Week, wouldn't you?
I remember that. I remember when ER did their guacamole episode. That was huge.
Highest rated TV show of all time.
Did you just say put sour cream in his guac? That's worthy
sacrilegious.
That's worthy of controversy, right?
Yeah. He's talked about it on the show before. People have freaked out about it. Apparently, a lady of Mexican heritage says, yes, of course, you always put sour cream in there. And there's a moment where everybody's like, did you pay this lady? Did you tell her to say this? So, again, if you're a fan of the show, you'll cry, you'll laugh, you'll just, it's a
every emotion
blanket of a show, and you'll have a good time.
Thank goodness there's cable and satellite, Alex, because I don't think they could show an episode like that on regular TV, could they? Not a chance.
No, with that guacamole recipe, absolutely not.
You couldn't do it. Not today. Nope. A texter says, I know that Gotham and Arrow are done, but what about DC's Flash and Supergirl and Legends? Are they done or are they still going to be on?
No, they're still continuing, and actually the Arrowverse on the CW is expanding. Arrow is going to have one final 10-episode-long season that's going to air this fall. It's leading into a massive 5-part crossover called Crisis on Infinite Earth that's going to span December and January and 5 different shows. And they are adding a new show, Batwoman, that actually just premiered over at San Diego Comic-Con. That's going to drop this fall as well. That
stars Ruby Rose
as Batwoman.
Yeah.
Ruby Rose, yeah, as Batwoman. Arrow's going away, but they're bringing in Batwoman, and things are trucking along from there.
Speaking of that San Diego Comic-Con, Alexander, the Walking Dead, Fear of the Walking Dead panels are today, and I used to do an internet show on the Walking Dead. Didn't quite really make it in the world, but I gave it my best, Bill.
Yeah.
Is there a Rick Grimes movies in the works? What's going on there? Big Rick, who I loved Rick on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot of questions actually going into these panels. This is one of the biggest events on Friday at Comic-Con every single year. They're kicking it off with the Fear of the Walking Dead panel at, I believe, 2 o'clock Eastern time. And then at 3 or 4 o'clock Eastern time, they're going to have the Walking Dead panel itself. anything could happen here. Well, I'm fully expecting that they're going to be announcing something about these three Rick Grimes movies that are supposed to come to AMC. We heard they were coming last year and then didn't hear anything further about them. Also, there's a lot of questions about whether Lauren Cohan, who played Maggie on The Walking Dead, is going to be coming back for season 10.
Love Maggie.
One thing we do know is going to happen is at the panel, they're going to drop the season 10 trailer for The Walking Dead. That's always a big deal for fans. And that'll be live at 5 o'clock Eastern time for everybody to view, regardless of whether you're at San Diego or not.
Do you think the show's still worth watching? Bill, do you watch it?
Yeah, I love it.
You still? So you
yeah,
guys,
I still watch it.
You watching, Alexander?
Yeah, I do. I actually think it's gotten better recently. The last season was one of my favorite seasons in a long time, and Fear of the Walking Dead has been very good this season as well. So I understand zombies aren't everybody's cup of tea, but I think they've gotten over a hump in terms of whatever, you know, whining about the state of the world morass that they were stuck in for a while, and I've really been enjoying the shows lately a lot.
Two of the biggest stars that we've seen on television in years, Ted Danson and Tina Fey, are now doing a comedy at NBC. Is that together or separately?
That's together. Tina Fey is going to be running it with, I always get his name wrong, Robert Carlock, who she did 30 Rock with, as well as Great News. Ted Danson is going to be playing a guy running for L.A. mayor who is pretty corrupt and absolutely should not be running for L.A. mayor. And as you can imagine with the Thailand behind the scenes and in front of the scenes on this, they picked it up straight to series. It's not even going to pilot. They're just, NBC is all in on it and they're going to do it. And I'm all in too.
Has Ted Danson had a minute of downtime in the last 25 years? He's worked consistently. Anytime he wants to work, he's got a job.
Yeah, he is one of, I think he's rated. I was about to say underrated, but he works and works and works, and he is good every single time out of the gate. You know, it's funny that this announcement happened. I kind of thought, okay, to your point, maybe he'll take a break after The Good Place is done. That's finishing up. It's run this fall. But nope, he's jumping right back into TV, right back into a new show, and he's a consistent performer. I think it's going to be fantastic.
Mark has Becker Fests at his apartment where they watch every episode of Becker back to back.
Awesome.
Even when he played...
It's the only time I can get people to come over.
Yeah, Beckerfest.
Right.
Even when he's just playing himself or a version of himself on Curb Your Enthusiasm, he's just always good. Mm-hmm. You know? You can't go wrong with him.
Yeah, and I think one of the parts, this is the report from every single set that he's ever been on, is he's also the nicest, most giving man and completely supportive. He has no ego about him. And I think that's another thing that helps you really keep going in an industry like his, just not acting like he is big star Ted Danson
right.
on Cheers or, you know, Becker, I guess. He's just great.
I finally finished watching all of this season's Stranger Things. I don't want to give anything away. I just want your opinion. I've had friends who say, wow, the show took a little bit of a dip this season. I didn't see it that way. I thought it was a really entertaining season. What did you think of Stranger Things?
I had a blast watching it. I thought it was really fun. It's definitely not the lost 80s movie of the first season. It didn't exactly go as deep as the second season in terms of the characters, but it's just a fun popcorn action movie from start to finish. It's just, we're at the point with the show, and a lot of shows that are good arrive at this point, where it feels comforting to watch these characters get together. And for me, one of the biggest things over the course of the season is everybody's kind of blasted apart on their own mission.
Yeah.
There's three or four episodes in a row where it just is with little reunions leading to bigger and bigger reunions.
Yeah.
And every time those moments happen, you just go, yeah, oh, this is great. Everybody's back together. And that's fun.
There was a moment in the last episode, in episode 8, and again, I don't want to give anything major away, but some of the cast members just kind of sing a song that was popular in the 80s, and it was such a weird chance to take. It was a very tense moment, and they broke that tense moment by the cast members singing the song, and I'm sitting there going, I know this is weird, but I so applaud them for taking this risk, you know?
I completely agree, and one of the things is that Stranger Things is obviously not the most realistic show. There's giant monsters, there's psychic powers, there's evil organizations, and Arnold Schwarzenegger, action-y type dudes.
Yep.
But they even break the frame. They have the two characters singing side by side in the frame together,
yeah,
which is something they've never done before. But even that feels very 80s to me. That's the sort of thing right. that would happen in an 80s yeah. movie. And I think that's what makes it work. It's such a fun moment.
Speaking of 80s movies, before you go here, Alex, it says in your bio that one time you got slapped by John Cleese. A Fish Called Wanda is one of my all-time favorite movies. Why did John Cleese slap you?
He was, when I was in college, he was a consulting professor for the theater department, and we were taking a picture after some lesson that he gave. I don't even remember what I said to him, but I turned to him, and he said something, and I made some snarky comment, and he laughed very generously and said, "Oh, you," and gave me a little tap, like a little love tap on the cheek. But he's gigantic. He's a huge man, and so his little love tap just smacked my head right around. Very nice.
Do you anticipate, funny, Alex, at any point in the future that he'd come back for more? Do you think he wants another part of you, or are you done?
I've been training all these years. Ever just since in college. Case. I'm ready. He can come at me anytime. I'll right. slap him right back.
All right.
I didn't realize he was. John Cleese is 6'5".
He's a big guy.
That. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Alex, always fun to talk to you. Thanks so much for contributing, and I hope you have a great weekend. Stay cool, right. And we'll talk to you next Friday.
Yeah, you too. Thank you so much.
Alexander Zalbin, the managing editor over at Decider.com. That's your website, Decider.com. We'll take a quick break and then more show. It's Bill Leff. It's Mark Carmen in for Wendy on WGN.